All right, ready? Yeah,
probably not. I think we're talking about scary things that aren't books.
Welcome to Yak Baby, zombie podcast on the internet, sponsored by Pumpkinhead's home prostate exam. Pumpkinhead tested, Pumpkinhead approved. My name is Aaron, here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hey, boys.
Brick.
Hello, boys.
And calling from... Oh, my God.
Oh, Aaron has coronavirus. Give him some Regeneron.
That's my spooky reveal this episode, is that I have the coronavirus.
That would be scary.
Yeah, and it's transmitted electronically.
The Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, zombie podcast on the internet, sponsored by Pumpkinhead's home prostate kit. Pumpkinhead tested, Pumpkinhead approved. My name is Aaron, from the personal pals, Dave.
It was.
Brick.
I think it was actually tested by John Wayne Gacy.
And canonically, that's correct.
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly.
And calling in from overseas, we have Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
This episode, we're well into our spooktacular celebration here in Yak Babies, and we're turning this episode over to scary or like spooky, eerie, non-literary media. So what do we like or have been reading or not reading, but watching or listening to lately that have been sort of scary? Because we have like talked about, you know, video games and movies in the past, so it seemed like an appropriate shift for our conversation. Have you guys watched any good scary movies recently that I should know about?
Yeah, I think you're going to great lengths not to say horror, and I appreciate it.
I learned a valuable lesson the first season of Yak Babies that I have a pronunciation issue when it comes to the word horror, so I will stick with scary horse movies.
I haven't watched the movie. Have you guys watched Lovecraft Country at all?
No, but I've heard it's really good.
It's good. It is like a kind of a different kind of scary because it's based on Lovecraft books, obviously, and like so there's like a weird monster, usually a different monster every week, but it's also like heavily about racism.
Right.
So it's like the first few episodes are like they're, I think it's an uncle and nephew, and they go on a road trip and like go through these in the 50s to try to find the nephew's dad. And so they're going through all these places in America that in the 50s are just monstrous. And so they're like, there's places where if they're out because they're black, if they're out after dark, they'll be lynched. There's places where they just kind of get run out of town immediately. And then there's constantly like every time they see a cop, they're like, oh, right. Fuck. And like the cop is a huge asshole to them. And like, it might be the wrong time of the wrong year to be watching it. Cause like I can watch like an episode a week and then I get kind of existentially depressed. It's like with the election and everything else, it's like, fuck, I can't.
A little too much.
It's that bad or good.
Brick, you were shaking your head, though. You said you didn't like it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was a head shake of I disagree. Yeah, I want to watch it. That seems... It's Jordan Peele is like, producing it, right? She created it. He's involved.
Something like that.
Which seems like a endorsement for me.
It's definitely well made. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. You're kind of almost rooting for the monsters a lot of the time because they will come and like eat the racist cops.
It's great.
Like, all right.
Like when you were briefly rooting for coronavirus last weekend?
Yeah. There's still time in 2020 for a hold open in the earth and an undefinable maw to come out and just start pulling things under.
It did feel like when Trump got diagnosed, it felt like the end of Jurassic Park when they're like the raptors are trying to like, they're closing them and they're about to get killed by the raptors and the T-Rex comes and eats the raptors. And you're like, oh, wow, the T-Rex was good all along. You're like, maybe coronavirus. There's like all of a sudden like 30 Republicans have it.
Or when all those little chicken dinosaurs eat Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
There's still time for Chris Christie. Who knows? The bell might be tolling for him.
Jesus.
Brick, what about you? What is your like? What have you been watching or consuming that is like in the eerie category lately?
I mean, horror movies are probably my favorite movies, particularly older ones. A lot of the horror movies after like 2000, 2010, they aren't as fun for me. I think there was a real push to like try and be scary as opposed to try and be kitschy, or maybe they're still scary. I don't know. It's just a different that I didn't really, you know, I like the kind of over the top. Gory, there's like ketchup flying everywhere kind of things, and not the more realistic, I don't know if realistic's the word, but you know, like
the actual threat is more believable.
Yeah, I was gonna say verisimilitude, but that's not it. But you know what I mean? Like, no, it's
less
just like
campy.
Less campy, sure. I think there's still good horror movies that have come out since then. I really liked that one Witch a few years ago.
Yeah, it was great.
That movie was really good. There's been others. The speaking of Jordan Peele, Get Out was really good.
Yeah.
But I much prefer the older ones. The stuff from the 80s is great, but really, like, all those, like, really schlocky 70s ones, like the Hammer horror movies and stuff. I just watch those over and over again. Those might even be earlier than the 70s. Some of those are 50s and 60s.
Yeah, the Hammer ones are really all about just, like, atmosphere and tone, right? They're not really scary. So certainly by modern standards.
But, I mean, that's, like, really what I want, you know, is that spooky kind of thing. Like, everything is, you know, it's got that, everything's purple and orange and gloomy, right. You know?
There's a castle involved.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's great. And then I love the old ones. I have all the, like, Universal ones and I watch those every year, and they just never stop being great.
Do you watch all of them every year?
Maybe not, like, without missing one, but I definitely watch the Frankensteins and the Draculas and some of the Wolfman ones.
Like a horror classicist.
Yeah, well, there's, like, the Universal, I forget what it's called. It's, like, a DVD series, Legends or something like that, that right. they have, you know, all of the original Bela Lugosi Draculas or whatever. So, you know, I watch those every year. They're right. Great.
Did anybody see Midsommar?
That's on my list, but I haven't seen it yet. Isn't that the same people that made Witch?
No. The guy who made Witch made that movie The Lighthouse, which is really good.
Yeah, I watched that. It was fucking weird.
Yeah, so good. The guy who made Midsommar made the movie Hereditary.
Oh.
I watched Midsommar recently. Okay, so none of you have seen it, so we can talk about it. Maybe in the future. Talk about it. All right. I want to know what your thoughts are. Dave, what about you? What do you turn to for scares in the spookiest season of all?
Haven't seen anything good recently. We watched Ratched, which kind of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest prequel about the nurse. It was made by the people who do American Horror Story, and I think there are a lot of similarities, even though it's not a horror show, but it also has kind of the same flaws, so didn't quite even finish it. It does have its moments, though.
What are the flaws?
Just like overdone ridiculousness, like it gets into absurdity way too often.
Gotcha.
And I think that's it. That's all I can think of. I don't think I haven't watched a horror movie in quite a while.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, I did. I think I sent you guys a link. We did watch this really low budget movie called Ramekin about a sentient ramekin. I think we all have to watch and do a live recording.
I'm saving that one for when you guys get here.
If that ever happens.
It sounds like it came from the who fucking category. Sentient ramekin is not that far from sentient HDMI cable.
Who fucking?
They're related. Who fucking's dead?
Forever.
It's buried.
It's too upsetting
for
everyone.
It is in a crypt.
Do you still have that file on your computer for your students?
It's still on there, yes, but it's hidden now. It's not on the desktop. So that
who fucking?
If I had to share my screen, it would just pop up first thing, which I was doing for a long time. Horrifying. A couple things I watched recently. One, last night I watched The Hills Have Eyes, the original Wes Craven one, not the...
Do not like that movie.
It's not... Yeah, it wasn't great. Uh-uh. I liked... some of the buildup.
Wait, there's an... But is that not the one with the guy from Silence of the Lambs in it? There's like an earlier version?
This one's from 74, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they remade it in the 90s or early 2000s. It's weird because I'm pretty sure Wes Craven did the remake, so he remade his own movie.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't like the new one or the old one, so...
Which guy from Silence of the Lambs is in the remake?
Ted Levine,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't... It was interesting, but it's like, it didn't really... It wasn't really scary. There was one scare where I was like, when the guy jumps through a window, but the rest was sort of like, it didn't... I don't know. It also felt like it was making fun of people,
which is not the best look.
Making fun of... What?
So the premise is like the family is traveling through this like silver mine area in like, I guess, like Nevada or somewhere, maybe California.
Yeah.
And they like lose their way and are preyed upon by a family of like cannibals. But the backstory is like the patriarch of this cannibal clan was like born deformed. Like he was like a giant and covered in hair. And then he was also evil. And his children are also, he was left for dead by his father after he killed his sister and burned their house down, but then he survived and like kidnapped a sex worker and then created a family of like deformed children who are all feral. It just feels a little bit like mocking
people, like it's making fun of desert rats.
Yeah, it's like if you're not
people with disabilities
too. It's like if you're born
both, yeah,
you know, and something, you know, whatever, if there's some sort of condition, whatever, then you are evil probably, and also you're going to create a family of evil people who will become cannibals. Yes, thank you. The pig is featured in the movie. Grizzly dog murder in that movie. So that's a good warning for not watching it.
Yeah.
When I saw the dogs in the first scene, I was like, oh boy, there's going to be some dog drama in this movie.
And it didn't even get thrown down.
But the one other
dog
is the hero of the movie, though. Like, it gets kind of absurd where like you're following this dog as if they are the protagonist. It's very strange. But I also watched a weird movie, another cannibal movie called Deadline. I think it's called The Deadline, or it's called Deadline. That's like a British, it's about cannibals who live in the subway system in England or London, and Donald Pleasance is in it, who's a scary movie. He's in, I think, Hammer horror movies, and he was for sure the psychiatrist in Halloween, that kind of thing. And he's awesome. Like, he plays a detective, and he's like very campy, like Columbo, but British. Again, not very scary, but pretty fun, and some really gross blood effects on the people who are being consumed. I was gonna ask you about video games. Like, what games have scared you?
Sure. Well, now I'm just gonna sound like an old fucking hipster like I did on the last thing, but modern, there's a lot of horror games. It's like there's a ton of them
right
in recent times, but they tend to either be just jump scares or kind of action games, and neither do I find that satisfying. I much prefer the older horror games, like the early Resident Evils were very like slow and tense, and there was a lot of kind of build up and kind of creep, and I think that doesn't really play well with the instant gratification. Modern games, there's not a ton of new ones. The again, going back to campiness, the games I play every year is I go back and play the old Castlevania games, like literally every year, because they don't take that long to play and they're great, and they're, you know, they're campy and colorful and full of all the monsters. They got good music and they kind of put me in the
plus like Pac-Man,
the Halloween mood.
Did they ever do another season of that, of the TV show?
They did a second season. Yeah, I don't know what you mean by another season. There might be a third. I don't know if there's a third. I like the second season better. The first season was pretty good, but the second one,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, the second one stuck to some of the old games pretty well too, which was nice. So I'm trying to think if there's any like more recent horror games that I like. I did like that Aliens one, but it was so hard that I didn't do it. And that time Nico,
it was hard. It didn't like, we just like walked around for a long time.
Yeah, well, we also, so that, I mean, that's like kind of breaks the mold a little bit, where like that game was very slow and methodical, and then we were trying to cram it in an evening, and that wasn't
the right point. But
I never finished that game though. It was too much.
I can't remember. Do we even get to a part where there was an alien?
Yeah, I think that's we did, and then it murdered you like three times. And we're like, all right, we're out.
I think my tensest video game moment ever was watching Aaron shit himself while playing that Resident Evil virtual reality.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
that was the scariest game I've ever played. For sure.
Yeah.
It really made me feel very bad. I did not like it. And I didn't get to anything scary, I can say, like for the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it made me realize I do not like virtual reality.
Well, I mean, it's...
I was like, this is too much.
It's great for what it is. Much. But yeah, I didn't even wind up buying the game. We just played the demo. And and nobody could make it through the demo. Because it was like, nope, don't need any more of this. Yeah.
Well, I was scared even doing the Batman. Yeah. I mean, that's like, and that's not even horror. That's just, that shit makes you tense.
Yeah, you can't even move in that game. You just stand... Yeah, you just like look around. It's like, oh fuck. Yeah.
So the Batman one was scary to me, not because of the content, because I was like, oh, I could easily see myself deciding to live forever in this video game. Like, it's like, when it's in a world where Batman's around, I was like, oh, this sounds great. Like, I will just put me in a coma. But yeah, the Resident Evil one was terrifying.
All those sci-fi tropes where people like smoke the drug and then just live.
Yeah, it's the Lotus Eaters from
drug smoke world. It's like, if you could make a Batman one, that's where Aaron would live.
This is a world where I'm not ashamed for pooping.
Don't even have to worry about it, because that's my stupid body back in the real world. It just shits itself, and somebody comes along and sweeps it out.
It's a secret part of Batman canon, is that the citizens of Gotham are not afraid to poop in public.
A horror game where you have to poop and the Charles Hotel is closed.
Yeah.
Okay, don't... Hold on to that thought. That content might be coming later on in this recording session.
Look forward to that, bro. So another kind of spooky season. I mean, it's kind of movies related, I guess. But I really like both the old ones as well as like the renaissance that's been happening of the like the movie marathons.
Oh yeah, sure.
That internet channel Shudder has Joe Bob Briggs. It's called The Last Drive-In now. Yeah, it was, and then that's, you know, kind of a revival of the Monster Vision stuff from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And those are great. It's really nice just to put it on and let it go. They've been doing it a little more frequently with coronavirus, so I gotta go watch some more recent ones. But it's a very, very solid, not just Halloween, but the fall when things are getting darker sort of thing to kind of have.
Yeah, this season on the Criterion Channel, they have a curated selection of 70s horror films. That's where I saw both those movies, The Hills Have Eyes and Deadline. And then there's like stuff you'd expect, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but also some like more rare stuff too. It's a really good collection. I've been watching that and really enjoying it. Okay, that sounds good. Listeners,
I feel like we should share our favorites, maybe.
Oh yeah, that's good. Oh yeah, you know, remember we used to do like recommendations at the end of our episodes?
No, but we should do that on this one.
I think this is back in book hockey days. Yeah. We would do like one recommended book. Well, yeah, we should bring that back at some point. Okay, so let's do what? Favorite movie or favorite, just like favorite spooky thing?
Yeah, or maybe just a good one.
Yeah, let's do recommendation. That's a recommendation. Like, what do you recommend to listeners? Nico, recommend a scary text for our listeners.
Scary text? Oh, okay. First
of any kind
thing that comes to mind is that movie, I think it's on Netflix, or it was on Netflix, called Tucker and Dale Fight Evil, I think. It's something like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, because it's like...
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah, it's like a meta-fictional kind of horror movie, like, where it's like... The two guys, Tucker and Dale, are like just normal guys, and these six stupid teenagers come up and for some reason think that they're terrorizing them, even though they're not. And so the kids keep like killing themselves, and then Tucker and Dale are these hillbillies, kind of like the other side of the Hills Have Eyes, but if the hillbillies like were just innocent and they weren't actually right. doing anything. So that's a good combo of like scary and funny, which I enjoy.
Brick, what about you?
I'm gonna go with the movie version of H.P. Lovecraft's Reanimator.
Oh yeah, sure.
Classic horror movie, pretty infamous for one particular moment, but the whole thing is it's a nice blend of scary, atmospheric, and funny, which a lot of 80s horror movies in particular pulled off pretty well, and it's a good example of that.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Combs is the like.
Yeah, and he's a great.
Yeah,
actor.
He's so great, and he's so campy. And it's like tossing character from a Hammer horror movie into an 80s slasher movie. It's a great combination.
Yep. And the part where they throw the cat against the wall gets me every time. So ridiculous.
Steve, what about you?
I feel like I still can't go wrong with The Exorcist. Mm. That'll still scare me every time I watch it. I think, you know, it's almost 50 years old now, so parts of it feel dated. But overall, I'll watch that maybe every other year. It fucks me up.
Yeah, I watched that last Halloween and I hadn't seen it in a while, and it's still so good.
Yeah, it's just a really well done as a movie too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really well made. My recommendation is this movie called Possession by Andre Zulowski, I think is how you pronounce his name. He was Polish. He is dead now, I believe. It's a really fucked up movie from 1981. It has Sam Neill in it, and he plays like a spy or something like that. Or like a government agent of some kind, and he is in this relationship with a woman, and they're kind of like divorcing or breaking up. I think they maybe are divorced and they're married, and then like she becomes possessed by an alien that you kind of see and kind of don't. And there's this scene where she has a breakdown in the subway where she just goes through this 7 or 8 minute long, it looks like, I mean, it's like a possession scene, I guess. It's really fucked up. It's terrifying. Like, it's not, nothing happens. It's gory, but it's just like watching, you're like, what the fuck? It's like watching someone in real trouble.
Sam Neill was in some fucked up movies. And it's super hard because I watched Jurassic Park so many times as a child that, like, in my brain, that's just who Sam Neill is. Yeah. And then any other, like, you see Event Horizon.
Alan Grant, no.
Fucking bloodbath orgy in the end of the. It's like, what is happening?
Don't Become Satan. He was in that Carpenter Lovecraft movie, right? In the Mouth of Madness, I think is what it's called.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's hard to find Possession, not on DVD, I don't think, but if you can find it somehow, streaming or some, I don't know, if you're pirating, whatever, watch it. It's fucked up. It's really, really scary. Listeners, share with us your scary non-literary text for this Halloween season. Let us know on Twitter at YakBabies, and also email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. where we can listen or take your recommendations and so on. Also, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/yakbabies, where you can get access to our secret podcast for $1 a month. There's all kinds of stuff going on there. There's games, Broto Bros, excerpts of botched intros, for instance, things you shouldn't be hearing. It's self-blackmail. We're giving it to you for only $1. Check that out. And then also, we have merch somewhere on the internet. We still have not tracked down the URL on that one, but someday I will.
We have it. Just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Right, yeah. We need to get like a tiny URL for it, or like a bit.ly.
You can find them on our Twitter.
Yeah, find on Twitter. I'm sure if you Google Yak Babies merchandise, it'll come out. There's some good shirts and stuff out there. The design work that Brick is doing is excellent. Until then, Yak Babies yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, and William Howard Taft.